All right. Praise the Lord on this September the 12th, Lord's Day Sunday morning. Yesterday was the 20th anniversary of the Twin Tower, I guess you'd call it bombing, where they were brought to the ground 20 years ago. I still remember the horror walking into the break room at work, and that was on the TV.
Yeah.
And it showed a plane stuck in one of the Twin Towers. And then it showed another plane come in, and I walked in the break room just as that second plane hit that second tower. And just for a brief moment, that woke America up. And they got to thinking eternal thoughts. And there was traffic jams, people trying to get to the house of God, trying to figure out what was going on. But you know, it didn't last long. But it did wake this country up just a little bit. And I think some things going on today are a continuation of that.
Yes.
I think, you know, that may have been the beginning of sorrows. That may have been the beginning of the end of the Gentile reign. And we want to go to God in prayer. A Sunday school lesson today is a terrible lesson. It's according to what I studied up on it, it's the most difficult passage in the Bible to teach on, so y'all pray for me, and we'll do our best with it. Father, we thank you for this beautiful day, Father, that you've given us to be in your house, and Lord, our heart is heavy, Lord, concerning the loss of life, Lord, that was contained in the destruction of the Twin Towers, Lord, yesterday, 20 years ago. And even today, Lord, people's lives are being taken, Father. Just such disregard of God, such disregard of the commandments of God, such disregard of the things of God. People, they're just trying to erase God out of the heritage. Lord, I watch them remove the statues. I watch them, Lord, take down the bulwarks and the landmarks, and just seem like, Lord, it's getting ready for the Antichrist to come on the scene. I see everything, Lord, falling in place. Lord, it's ripe, Lord, for Him to come. I know we've got to get out of the way before He can come. And I'm just kind of glad we're in the way. But I know it won't be long that we will be taken out of the way. And Lord, we just pray you bless us today in this Sunday school lesson. Help us, Father, be able to teach the great truths of your word. I must admit, Lord, today I'm at a loss. And I pray, God, Lord, that you would compensate. I pray you'd open your words to us today. Make them known to us. We'll expound upon them, Lord, the best we can. But, Lord, we pray, God, you'll help us in that effort. And, Lord, we pray all these things, Lord. Comfort, Father, this morning. Lord, the Williams family, the Huffman family. Lord, we buried Michelle this week, Lord, on Wednesday. And I know, Lord, many people are still grieving. I pray for them and others, Lord's lost loved ones. We pray for them. We pray for those, Lord, that have got sickness. Pray for those, Father, that are struggling. Lord, in other ways, we just pray for them in Jesus' name. Ask you to help them. Amen.
Amen.
All right, we finished up Daniel chapter 7. Last week, and it was a pretty tough chapter itself, but it just kind of set the stage for Daniel chapter 8. They kind of go together, but in Daniel chapter 7, it mentions there in verse 25, talks about that fourth beast. He shall speak great words against the Most High. He doesn't like God. He wants to have the preeminence, so he's blaspheming that worthy name. And you know, me and Donnie was talking about fear on the way up here, and it will be a fearful time. People will be afraid to speak out against the blasphemy of this fourth beast. It'll be a fearful time, and there will be saints in the tribulation, And I'm glad, praise God, I'm saved by grace. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But in the tribulation, people will get saved by keeping the commandments of Moses, which will be nearly impossible. They'll have to love not their lives unto death, and they'll have to have the testimony of Jesus to be a saint in the tribulation. They're going to be resisting that mark. They're going to try to somehow evade the Antichrist, the beast, and he's going to be threatening. He'll speak great words against the Most High and shall wear out the saints of the Most High. And going to think to change times and laws. They're doing that right now.
Yeah.
I somehow feel helpless. And I also understand it has to be. My pastor made a profound statement one day. He said, we're all victims of prophecy. He said the Bible has to be fulfilled.
Amen.
And for that very reason, a lot of things will change. And this fourth beast, Antichrist, he'll have supreme power. Power will be given unto him. And he'll think that he's got it made. He'll change times and laws, and they'll be given into his hand until a time and times and the biding of time. And I'm kind of glad I ain't going to be here. I've got enough problems as it is. But they're really going to have problems when he's in charge.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But judgment shall sit, and they shall take away his dominion to consume and to destroy it unto the end, and the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom on the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. Hitherto is the end of the matter. As for me, Daniel, my cogitations much troubled me. That's a terrible word. My countenance changed in me, but I kept the matters in my heart. Now Daniel, he has dreamed a dream, and it's troubled him, and he got the interpretation of the dream, and even with all of that, it changed his countenance. His thoughts troubled him, and he kept the matter in his heart. He kind of wished that it wasn't going to be, yet it has to be. Now we're going to start in Daniel chapter 8. In the third year of the reign of King Belshazzar, a dream appeared unto me, even unto me, Daniel, after that which appeared unto me at the first. So this is his second dream. And I saw in a vision, and it came to pass when I saw that I was at Shushan in the palace, which is in the province of Elam. And I saw in a vision, and I was by the river Ulai. And I then lifted up mine eyes and saw, and behold, there stood before the river a ram which had two horns, and the two horns were high, but one was higher than the other, and the higher came up last. Now Daniel, in the process of this vision, he's trying to put this together, and I'm looking at it like he looked at it, and this is really complicated, so we're going to have to really take our time here. He says in verse 4, I saw the ram pushing westward, and northward and southward, so that no beast might stand before him, neither was there any that could deliver out of his hand, but he did according to his will and became great. In other words, I say that with charity, Daniel sees something that's got power, that's able to stand its ground, that no one is able to deliver out of his hand. No one is attacking. No one is rising up against it. It's taking dominion northward, southward, and westward. And neither was any that could deliver out of his hand. But he did according to his will and became great. You know, right now, This probably doesn't have any coincidence with this. But I ever felt so helpless in all my life. When I say that, this country was raised up on this phrase, "We the people."
Yes.
And I feel like that no longer exists.
That's right.
I feel like dominion has changed. I'm not talking about voting machines. But authority,
yeah,
power has changed. So we can kind of relate a little bit to Daniel here. What he sees, he thought he'd never see. And as hard as it is to receive and understand what he sees, I'm guess he's kind of feeling helpless. Maybe standing in awe. Verse 5 says, "And as I was considering, behold, a he-goat came from the west on the face of the whole earth and touched not the ground. And the goat had a notable horn between his eyes." In other words, he's coming pretty fast. I have went in a car so fast that when I went over the hill, it went airborne for a little while and then come back down. That's kind of what this he-goat's doing. It's airborne. It's going so fast that it ain't even touching the ground. And the goat had a notable horn between his eyes. And he came to the ram that had two horns, which I had seen standing before the river, and ran unto him in the fury of his power. Now, it's on, if you know what I mean. This is a clash of powers, and I saw him come close unto the ram, and he was moved with choler against him, and smote the ram, and brake his two horns, and there was no power in the ram to stand before him, but he cast him down to the ground, and stamped upon him, and there was none that could deliver the ram out of his hand. We got a clash here of two powers. And that little horn here is a prophecy fulfilled in Antiochus Epiphanes 175 B.C. who profaned the temple and terribly persecuted the Jews. He's not to be confounded with the little horn of Daniel chapter 7, who's yet to come, and who will dominate the earth during the great tribulation, which will be the beast. But this great tribulation, Antichrist, is a remarkable type of the beast, the terrible little horn of the last days. And verses 24 and 25, it kind of changes. And we'll get to that here in a minute. They go beyond him and evidently refer to the little horn of Daniel 7. And that's why I say this is some tough teaching territory here. But verse 8, "Therefore the he-goat waxed very great." All of these are positions of power. The power has changed hands right here. "And when he was strong, the great horn was broken, for it came up four notable ones toward the four winds of heaven." In my mind, I can't even conceive this. I'm guessing Daniel's having a little trouble with it himself.
I don't want to bother you, but Deborah Bryant's on here, and when you close your Sunday school service, pray for her family.
Debbie Bryant?
Deborah Bryant.
Deborah Bryant.
Okay. And Sarah Hawkins is on here. Brenda God and Carolyn's online back there. So
we know
Carolyn will be here. I don't know about Brenda. We'll pray that she'll show up too. Maybe she'll feel like coming. So.
Amen.
Anyway, remember Deborah's family. She's got three daughters.
We'll do that. Like I said, you got a change of power here.
Yep.
And that's kind of what I've been noticing for a while.
Yeah,
and if you notice, it's done by force. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of same thing going on right now in our government. Seems like it's by force. People are being forced to do things.
Yeah.
I don't think it's needed, but anything I can do about it.
Uh-uh.
I'm kind of like Donnie. I'm glad something better's coming. Hallelujah, because it's about ready to get bad down here.
Yeah, that's right.
But he said, four notable ones came up toward the four winds of heaven, and out of one of them came forth a little horn. And like I said, this is a tough teaching because it mentions two little horns, which waxed exceeding great toward the south and toward the east and toward the pleasant land. And it waxed great even to the host of heaven. And it came down and it cast down some of the host of the stars to the ground and stamped upon them. Does that ring a bell with anybody?
Yeah.
Now, I told y'all Revelations and Daniel, they kind of go together. In Revelations chapter 12, I want to read a few verses here. It says, "And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pained to be delivered." And here's why I turned here. "And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to deliver her child as soon as it was born." And you see a little bit of a comparison here. It talks about he waxed great even to the host of heaven, and it cast down some of the host of the stars to the ground and stamped upon them. That's Satan. And he was great.
Yeah.
And the Lord kind of showed him he might have been mighty, but he wasn't almighty. He said, "I beheld Satan fall to the earth." And I got a feeling when he hit the ground, he probably hit the ground running, because he took on a little bit too much. I think it's in Luke 18. Let me see here. Luke 18, I think, verse 10. No, it ain't verse 10 for sure. Maybe it's Luke 10. Here it is. It's Luke 10, verse 18. "I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven." And the devil learned real quick who really has the authority, but he never gave up. Again, he's trying to build a kingdom. Even right now, Bible talks about that mystery of iniquity. The mystery of iniquity which doeth already work. It's working even right now. And there's a lot of people in on board with this. Paul mentions it a little bit there. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, he talks about in verse 13, "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." And a lot going on today, kind of like what went on in heaven, were not only being deceived, but the devil was deceiving them, and he's deceiving even himself to think that he could take the place of the Most High. Verse 11, "Yea, he magnifieth himself, even to the prince of the host, and by him the daily sacrifice was taken away, and the place of his sanctuary was cast down. Now, he's not rising up against God himself like it's mentioned in Isaiah chapter 14, but he's rising up against the people of God and against the sacrifice. In Isaiah chapter 14, it mentions about Lucifer, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of morning, how art thou cast down to the ground, which did weaken the nations. For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, I will set also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. And the next verse changes that real quick. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. But he is magnifying himself right now, taking power, gathering power, to rebel against the powers of God. He's been a rebel all along. I was a rebel for about 34 years. And I'm glad I'm not a rebel no more. But, you know, I've done kind of like the devil did. I tried to magnify myself. Now I'm trying to lift up the Lord, trying to give glory and honor to Him. I'm not trying to draw attention to myself. But this devil, he's going to succeed to some degree. He's going to magnify himself even to the prince of the host, and by him the daily sacrifice. And that's in the middle of the tribulation. 3.5 years, our Lord mentioned this in Matthew 24. The prince of the host, by him the daily sacrifice was taken away, and the place of the sanctuary was cast down. The likelihood of me finding this is probably going to be pretty slim. But the Lord does make a reference to this.
I have a question while you're looking.
All right.
Is the Antichrist, is he against God right now?
Oh, yeah.
He is?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And, you know, he doesn't really show all his cards. He comes across like he's going to be a friend to Israel.
Yeah.
And they're going to go with it.
Yeah.
I mean, they're going to have 3.5 years of peace.
I'm thinking because he don't have any power without God giving him power. Just like the devil don't have any power except God turned the power loose. You know, let him have what he wanted. Didn't he?
Yeah. I'm reading, listening to.
Go ahead.
The devil had to be. Matter of fact, this is kind of a strange verse, but it's a good place to put it in here right now. This will kind of throw you for a loop here. In Isaiah chapter 45, verse 7, God says, I form the light and create darkness.
Yes.
I make peace and create evil.
Right.
I, the Lord, do all these things. When Jesus said in John chapter 6, have I not chosen you 12, and one of you is the devil, he had to be betrayed to be able to be offered for the sins of the world. So it took the devil and God to pull Calvary off. And the devil at that time thought he was winning. He didn't see that coming, or he would. The Bible says the prince of this world had known, they wouldn't have crucified the Lord of glory. But Jesus made a reference to this in Matthew chapter 24 when he says, when you therefore see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. And that's right in the middle. And the sacrifice, I think that's wrote in here too, it'll be taken away. All of this in the providence of God, He's already told the end from the beginning, and His counsel will stand.
Yeah. Well, the reason I ask that question, Brother Eddie, is, you know, it's the Antichrist that I was talking about. And we have Antichrist in this world.
First John talks about many Antichrist even now in the world.
Goodness, so many people out here in the world are Antichrist. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's two different things there. And
in 1 John chapter 4, Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world.
Right.
Hereby know that ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. This is the spirit of Antichrist, wherein you have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. And there are many Antichrists even right now working undermining and working darkness, trying to connive and fulfill anything against God that they can bring across, trying to defeat God. And God, He just kind of laughs at that. The Bible talks about it in Proverbs that He laughs. And, you know, their efforts, because they're puny efforts, yet they won't give up. But,
Brother Eddie, in Amos chapter 3, verse 6, the second part of that verse says, there shall be evil in a city, and the Lord hath not the Lord done it.
Yeah.
And so, you know,
should it be evil in the city, and the Lord hath not done it. The Bible talks about God, His eye runs to and fro through the earth, and the Amos sparrow that falls, that God doesn't see it, know it. And the thing I like about it more than anything is God's in control. And I'm glad He is. Amen. I don't have to do anything. The old song says, trust and obey, no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. If I could do anything, I'd probably mess it up. But God, you know, He's more than a conqueror, which He made us more than conquerors through Him. But He said in the world we'd have tribulation, but be of good courage, be of good comfort. He said, I've overcome the world. I was just talking to Brother Ed, Sister Carolyn, about doing all that. He just kind of fed me on. It already been done. And I said, they want to put a wall up down there and make that kitchen all one room. And I come in this morning, I thought, Brother Ed said, I got over early this morning. I've been working hard. I said, I agree, but I'm blown away.
He was going to do that.
Yeah. I mentioned to him that we was going to try to work on it some this week. And my back's killing me right now. My knee, I can't hardly stand on it. And whoever pulled that off, I salute them. Yeah. But this vision of Daniel's receiving right here, it's a terrible vision. It's coming upon the world real close to our day that we're living in right now. Verse 12, and a host was given him against the daily sacrifice by reason of transgression. Now, they're not in the will of God. They think they are, or maybe they're pretending they are, but the reason they're going to be overthrown is mentioned here in verse 12 by reason of transgression. God's not going to defend them. He's going to allow them to be taken over. He's going to allow them, you know, to realize they made a mistake, and they're literally going to have to run for their lives. And he said, by reason of transgression, the daily sacrifice is going to be cast down the truth to the ground, and it practiced and prospered. Daniel said, I heard one saint speaking, and another saint said unto that certain saint which spake, how long shall the vision concerning the daily sacrifice and the transgression of desolation to give both the sanctuary and the host to be trodden underfoot? This is going to be like a matter of horror. They're going to have a hard time accepting what's happening But they're one of the reasons it does happen. They're not faithful. They've transgressed the commandments of God. They're just going through the motion like most churches today. And there's no soundness to them. And then when this Antichrist shows up, he just takes over. And they understand then their mistake. And they're wondering how long it's going to last. And verse 14, he said unto me, unto 2,300 days, then shall the sanctuary be cleansed. You know, sometimes it has to get bad before we understand how bad it is. Now, they've been, for lack of better words, they've been playing the things of God. They've been just kind of playing. They hadn't been serious. They hadn't taken the sacrifice serious. They hadn't taken God serious. But they're having to take this Antichrist serious. They don't understand that authority's been taken away from them. The opportunity to offer up sacrifices to God's been taken away from them. You know, sometimes you don't miss something until it's gone.
That's right.
And they kind of woke up here. It's kind of woke Daniel up a little bit here, even though it doesn't really happen in his day. He's been allowed to see this day through this vision. And what's mentioned here is mentioned also in Matthew 24, mentioned also in Revelations. And this is coming. And you know, the players right now, they're on board because they're winning. It looks like they've got the advantage. They're gaining in power. Me and Donnie was talking about riches on the way up here. Man, they're lining their pockets. As I was walking out the door this morning, I had the TV on the news, and someone had took a cell phone video of the pallets of cash that was left behind in an effort, and this is kind of blowed out a little here, but in an effort to get out of Afghanistan before the 9/11 anniversary, wanted to be out by, what was it, August 31st?
Yeah.
And you know, you think about pallets of cash, but when they showed them, it was like two walls all the way down the wall, all the way down the other wall, waist high, stacked up on pallets, $100 bills. I guess we're funding terrorism now. But you see, that should not be, but it's going to be allowed.
Right.
And I'll tell you why it's going to be allowed. Because powers have changed. There's some things going on right now that I wished I could understand better. They left behind $85 billion worth of guns, helicopters,
airplanes,
armored vehicles, Humvees. I'm just telling you, buddy. Yeah, drones. And technology, night vision, communication devices. And you know, I can't help but say, duh. And then I read this, and then I understand.
That's right. It's got to happen.
It's got to happen.
That's it.
So if we see all of this happen, Jesus told us, you know, not to fear.
Right.
And to understand, these things have to be. So as we're reading this right now, and I'm going to say something I probably shouldn't say, most churches are asleep to this.
Right.
The world is asleep to this.
Yeah.
But the devil's not, and God's not.
No.
And all of this is just happening right before our eyes. When it talks about verse 12, and a host, in other words, a large number was given him against the daily sacrifice by reason of transgression. See, they wasn't faithful, and God allowed this because of their unfaithfulness, and they've been kind of playing around, and it cast down the truth to the ground. You know, Pilate, look truth in the face, and I guess this was sarcasm, what is truth?
Right, truth.
And that's kind of where the world is today, Bonnie. What is truth? And I know Jesus said, John 17:17, thy word is truth. But they don't want the word.
No.
They don't want God.
No.
And they don't want the truth. You got ahead of me there, Sharon. But they don't. They don't want truth.
That's right.
And they're real close to believing a what?
Lie.
Yeah. They're going to believe it. I mean, hook, line, and sinker.
Before the truth, they'll believe that lie.
Yeah. Yeah, they're already, like Brother Ed said, they're already getting on board.
Yeah.
And, I see all this coming down. I see where it's going. I'm like, I told Brother Donnie on the way up here this morning, I'm just kind of glad God got this thing fixed, Brother Jerry.
Yeah.
Amen.
We're talking about it's fixed. Amen.
Yeah.
We're going to get out. What a shout. With great victory and great glory. But the world's going to be consumed in this. A lot of the church is going to be consumed in this. Israel's going to be consumed in this. Verse 13 said, then I heard one saint speaking. They're going to be talking about it.
Right.
And another saint said unto that certain saint, which spake, how long shall the vision concerning the daily sacrifice? See, they don't really care about God. You know, when Jesus came down here, showed Himself to be God, He went in the temple, turned it upside down. Done it twice. When on the cross at Calvary, beaten beyond recognition,
yes,
the veil of the temple was rent from the top to the bottom.
Amen.
That was the only thing they cared about. And now anybody, I can go into the Holy of Holies now. And if you're saved, you can too.
Amen.
Now we all have access to God.
Yes.
But before Jesus died at Calvary, it was kind of a fixed thing. You had to know somebody to know somebody to get a word to God. But praise God now, hallelujah, I can come boldly to the throne of grace. And I can say, God, can we talk like I did this morning? Can we talk for a minute? I need to talk to you. And you know, I thank God for that. But you know, they're more concerned about this daily sacrifice than they are about what the daily sacrifice is about.
Yeah.
And they said, how long shall the vision concerning the daily sacrifice and the transgression of desolation to give both the sanctuary, talking about the temple of God, and the host to be trodden underfoot. How long is this going to last? When can I get back to what I enjoy doing? You see, they like the praise of men, but they don't like the praise of God, or they tend towards the praise of men more than they tend towards the praise of God. Verse 14, he said unto me, until 2,300 days, then shall the sanctuary be cleansed. It's defiled, and the reason it's defiled is because they wasn't faithful. By transgression, it was overthrown. And now, you know, it's defiled, and they want to get it back like it was. Now, this is talking about the vision interpreted of what we just read about what Daniel saw. And it came to pass when I, Daniel, had seen the vision and sought for the meaning, then behold, there stood before me as the appearance of a man. Now, one thing about it, God will always, the Bible mentions in the book of James, I ain't going to turn there, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God to give unto all men liberally. And you know, God's always provided us a means to know. The Bible mentioned in 1 John, the anointing which we have received will teach us all things, and it'll teach us the truth. I do want to turn to that just because of that mention about the truth. I think it's in 1 John chapter 3. No, it's 1 John chapter 2. It says, but the anointing, verse 27, but the anointing which ye have received of Him abideth in you. And that's that Holy Spirit. Now, Holy Spirit It won't bear witness with nothing but truth.
Right.
Have you ever noticed truth has a ring to it? That ring is a Holy Spirit bearing witness with something. And He abideth in you, and you need not that any man teach you, but the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in Him. And the Holy Spirit will help us to know the difference between truth and a lie, if we'll let it. Now Balaam, he didn't want to let it. He was more concerned about those wages. And thank God for his donkey, saved his life. But he did understand that he loved the wages of unrighteousness more than he loved truth. Daniel has a man show up here. Verse 16, and I heard a man's voice. Me and Brother Ed just looked at someone singing on there, and I'm like him, I can't see real good neither. There we was trying to decide whether it was a man or a woman. And it had the appearance of a man, but had the voice of a woman, so I'll let you make the call on that. But anyway, it's kind of hard to tell anymore.
Yeah, that's right.
I was driving somewhere the other day, and I saw somebody with beautiful long hair. I went by and looked back, and had a beard. I mean, it's just hard to tell. I get thrown a curveball. But he said, I heard a man's voice between the banks of Uli, which called and said, Gabriel. Now we know who this is. Make this man to understand the vision. Gabriel's the one that showed up to Mary, the mother of Jesus, and gave her instructions on the baby she was going to give birth to. He said he'll be great. He said he'll sit upon the throne of his father David. That's key to remember. Of the seed of David, Christ came to this world by a virgin named Mary. But the order here is Gabriel, make this man to understand the vision. So he came near where I stood, and when he came, I was afraid. Now listen, if Gabriel come in here today, we'd probably all be afraid.
Amen.
I mean, tell you, buddy, Gabriel ain't no little angel.
Right.
He's a mighty angel. Hey, Landon. Hallelujah, buddy.
Jake's here.
It's different, ain't it? We'll stop right there. Amen. We want to go to God in prayer. Let me mark this. We stopped on verse 17 where he said, I was afraid. We'll pick that back up. I'm in over my head teaching this lesson anyway. We want to go with the Lord in prayer on behalf of Deborah Bryant. You say she had three children, Brother Ed?
Yes.
Yeah.
Lord, we thank you, Father, for helping us, Lord, through what we got out of this Sunday school lesson, Lord. And I will admit, I was at a terrible loss. Lord, I pray, Lord, that we might have given some light, insight, Lord, to this chapter, a terrible chapter, Daniel chapter 8. We pray, Father, for the hearers and those that were here. And Father, we want to come to you on behalf of Sister Deborah Bryant. Lord, she's requesting prayer for her and her family. Brother Ed said she's got three daughters, I believe he said. Lord, we might not have all that accurate, but we want to pray for her and her family. We come to you, Lord, lifting up her and her family. Lord, we don't know the need. You do. And Lord, we probably have no help, but you are. You're a very present help in times of trouble. And I pray you'll help this family. I pray, Lord, Father, for sickness. I pray you'll visit them, Lord, with healing in your wings. Send your word and heal them, Lord. You're the great physician. Lord, if they're struggling, Father, with truth or with fear, I pray, Lord, your great peace, Lord, will be a comfort to them. Lord, we just put them in your tender care. Ask you to look after them. Ask you, Lord, to care for them. You're the good shepherd that love your sheep, that come to your sheep, that call your sheep by name. We pray for this family, Lord, and Lord, many others, Lord. I thank, Lord, we're requesting prayer. We pray for all of them. We pray for them, Lord, to be at church today. We thank you, Lord, being in Sunday school. In Jesus' name we ask these things. Your blessing will be done. Amen.
Amen.
All right, we stop right there at verse 17 of Daniel chapter 8. Like I said, I was in over my head right there.
No, you wasn't. God gave you knowledge to give up.
That's tough. That's tough stuff, I'll tell you right now.
Tough stuff, but you know, He gave you the knowledge to give it to us. I thought you did a good job.
I'm glad I still got that recorder going.